God, to know, Lord, you became a blessing and help and strength. God, we've come to give you praise and glory, to celebrate the sacrifice that you so willingly and lovingly gave for our benefit, Lord, for our salvation. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. Let praise come forth from our lips, God. Let our hands be lifted in acclamation unto you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your love, your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. Jesus, in your precious name, why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness this morning?
More of you, God. Life gracefully broken. gracefully. You're strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power is working in me. I'm broken gracefully. You're strong. Work in me. I'm broken gracefully. You're strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. You're strong when I am weak. I will be free, yeah. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully.
Sometimes when you're really yielding your life over to God, it doesn't always work out the way that you want it to work out. The Bible talks about when Paul said that he prays that our faith fails us not. It doesn't mean that we're going to go through this life with nothing, with no pain, with no hurt, with nothing, but that our faith will fail us not through those times. Sometimes it takes us to be broken into pieces to actually make that pillar that God wants us to be. And it's scary. Will you sing the worship with us as we sing this next song?
Oh, blood that makes us spotless white. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Thank you. reign. God Almighty, let your Holy Spirit reign. God Almighty, let your Holy Spirit reign.
Your Spirit rain down. Can we just lift our hands and lift our voice? God, we need your Spirit to rain upon us, God. The refreshing that comes from the rain of your Spirit. How we need you, Jesus. How we need you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Want to applaud him for his goodness. Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the first Sunday of the month, and as we often do, we want to take time to say thank you to all those who have kept up with your Bible reading. So you may be seated unless you are up to date with your Bible reading. We want to say a small thank you, Brother Gregory, if you'd be so kind to pass out. This is just a small token of appreciation. We are involved in the Bread Program, Bible reading enriches any day. And as a part of that, on the first Sunday of every month, we try to acknowledge those that are keeping up with their Bible reading by giving them a little bit of bread. They've got the supernatural bread and reading the Word of the Lord, and this is just a small way of saying thank you and celebrating your keeping up with your Bible reading. I want to applaud those that are doing that and keeping up with their Bible reading. God bless you for your continued effort therein. My wife and I have, my family, all had the opportunity to go and be a part of North American Youth Congress. It happened in St. Louis Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. There at the Dome of the America Center, we gathered together with some, I don't know the exact number, but between 35,000-40,000 people in that arena that were there worshiping God. Great word, great worship, great music, just great challenges by those that spoke. And so we are refreshed, a little bit weary from travel and all that we did. We tried to make it, had the kids with us, so we took some time out and did some other stuff as well. But we just had such a wonderful time together in St. Louis, North American Youth Congress. And so and if you ever have an opportunity to go and be a part of one of those, the next one is 2021. It's happening in Indianapolis, Indiana, not too far from here. If you have an opportunity to go, you say, well, it's a youth conference, it's only for young people. Well, I was there. And there were were people older than me that were there. So it is such a good time to see that many. The majority of them are young people, but they have come together and they serve the community and leave, hopefully, a positive impact and imprint upon the community. And so we're just grateful to be a part of a great organization that has events such as those. And so I want to remind you, by way of announcement, tonight there is a department head meeting, so we will not be doing a share session tonight. But the sign-up sheet is at the back if you would like to participate and help us in sharing on Sunday nights when we have those sessions. You can share a testimony, you can share the word, you can share your story, you can share your talent, and just kind of open it up and allow you those opportunities to minister and be ministered unto. Again, tonight there is no share session, as there will be a department heads meeting happening here at the church. So good to have Brother and Sister Dunaway in service with us this morning. A longtime secretary of the Illinois District, and many years. I don't know how many years, Brother Dunaway, but I know it was a lot of years. And we're so grateful for his service to this great district. And thankful to Brother Brosom, our presbytery, who has kind of helped this church board, obviously in recognition of the transition that is taking place, and has been so diligent and has offered for those ministers there in his congregation, Brother Isaac Montalvo, Brother Brent Rose Bozeman, and Brother Lloyd Dunaway to be here in service with you. We want Brother Dunaway just to come and take his liberty in this pulpit, ministering unto us. Will you get behind the preacher, help him preach this morning?
What a privilege, I say again, it is to be in God's church. What a privilege. I have just a couple of scriptures I want to start off with. I may have a lot before we finish this morning, but if you have your Bibles, I would like to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'll read a couple of verses there. 2 Kings chapter number 5. I don't know how long you usually stay on Sunday morning, but I usually just stay till I get done. So it may be long, it may be short, so we'll just do as the Lord wants. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman," let me pause there just a minute. You don't read any place about this man except in this chapter. And then only there's 19 verses that refers to him. Only one place in the New Testament is he mentioned. So, but I believe there's a great lesson here today from this man, very unknown throughout the Bible. But anyway, it says, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." He was a leper. Everything was wonderful to start out with, but he was a leper. Naaman was great in his world. You may be seated. I'm sorry. He was one of the best that there was. He was the king's, Benadad's, what we say, right hand when it comes to battles and war and fighting and stuff. He was the best. But the problem was, as I say, he was a leper. So of all the honor and prestige and everything about this man, his honor, his authority, his wealth, Naaman was a doomed man because under his uniform, his body was a leper. Little is known about him, as I mentioned, very few things, just this chapter and just a few others, one in the New Testament. But leprosy was a horrible thing. You don't hear of it today as much. I guess it's still around, but they have found something that will cure it. Am I vibrating too much? Sounds like I am, so I don't want to hold this thing in the wrong place. Let's look at leprosy just for a minute. Leprosy was something that was very contagious. And we're going to compare this with sin, so kind of let your minds run a little bit here. It was contagious. See, it was something that started slow. Just small spots. Very slow. But it was there. Okay, we could kind of associate it maybe to a certain degree with cancer today. Because cancer starts with a very small place, usually. Most of the time, it's not even recognized that you have it until it's too late sometimes. But you see, leprosy was more than just skin deep. Because leprosy is a bacteria. And it gets in your body and eventually will kill you. Another thing leprosy does, it isolates you. Leprosy people had to leave their home from their family, their friends, everything they associated with. They lived out by themselves. Usually it was in a colony, one with another. But the sad part was, of course, there was no cure. No cure for leprosy. But when you think about sin in our society, it's contagious too. It's contagious. Again, it starts slow. You see, I've been around a little while. Matter of fact, I've had the Holy Ghost for over 62 years. And I've watched different situations, different people at different times, how that just a little thing, you wouldn't think too much was wrong, but that little thing began to grow, and become a major thing. You see, sin, again, is more than just skin deep. It gets into the heart, to your soul, to your very life. What leprosy does, and sin likewise, it kills the nerves, our conscience. after a while. I know my wife had an uncle. He was a farmer, a great guy. But we watched him, and I don't know exactly what his disease was called, but it was very creeping. He could reach in his pocket and for something and not know what he's bringing out. He could touch something hot and not even know that he was being burnt. He had to give up his occupation as a farmer. Eventually, that desire crippled him so bad that he passed away. But sin has an effect on our consciousness. And likewise with sin, it isolates. It separates families. Our divorce rate in America is over 50%. And it affects everybody. It has affected our family. Now, my wife and I have been married 66 years, so it hasn't affected us. But the generation that follows us, it is hit very hard. As a boy growing up with my father out on the country on a farm, my father was a farmer, divorce was something you rarely ever heard of. Everybody was just content, I guess. It was very, very, very much. But the difference between leprosy and sin, there's a cure for sin. We don't have to live in sin. The title of my message today, I wanted to give you a title, was Dead Men Walking. See, when dead men, I say dead men, I don't mean, you know, you don't have a life. You have mental power or intellect and stuff like that. That's not the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about dead men are like those who, they're not like a corpse. They don't hear, you know, they don't feel and so on. But in the church of the living God, God has something more than what the world can give us. It has something that has life. Amen. Dead men. You know, there's a scripture over in the book of Matthew I never understood till just actually when I got studying this message for this message some time back. I came to a conclusion. I think I know what it was. But Jesus made this statement one time, "Let the dead bury the dead." Now, how can a dead person bury a dead person? He wasn't talking about dead as a corpse. He was talking about those outside the church, those that were sinners, those that were lost, and those that were undone. Let them bury the dead. A person without the Holy Ghost is spiritually dead. That's the reason we believe so strongly in being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul even referred to this over in the second chapter of Ephesians, chapter number 2 and verse 21. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." The world cannot give you spiritual life. You have natural life, but you don't have spiritual life. And without God in your life, you're as a dead man walking around. And he went ahead and said, "Wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You were dead in your sins. again, going back to 2 Kings. So Naaman came with his horses. Well, let me back up just a little bit here. In the rest of that first, second verse, and then you go on from there, is when the little girl, little Israeli girl, was a maid to Naaman's wife. And I picture things sometimes, so just bear with me. But I can kind of see, as she was combing Mrs. Naaman's hair, maybe fixing her hair up, whatever, and she got to sharing with this little servant girl that how her husband was a leper, and she was probably crying a little bit, so upset because of this. And the little Israeli girl said, "Oh, would to God she would go to the land of Israel, to the servant of God, and he would pray, and he would be healed." So it was told Naaman, and so Naaman came with his, got everything ready, came with his horses, his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha simply just sent a message to him saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. I'm amazed at the Bible how many times 7 is used. But anyway, go wash 7 times and your flesh shall come back to thee. You'll be clean. But Naaman didn't like that answer. I was one of them. I can associate with people when it comes to living for God. You need to be baptized. Ooh, not me. I'm not getting in that. Where I used to go to church when we first came into the church was in Vandalia, Illinois. Brother Reeder was our pastor. A great man. But before I was in the church, once in a while, somebody, one of our family or something happened to be there, we'd have to go, you know. Didn't want to go, but had to go. And Brother Reeder would come down for the altar call. He'd hop down off the platform, come back, put his shoulder, hand on his shoulder. "Brother, won't you come to the altar?" Ooh, it made me mad. "I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm just here just because I have to be." You know, so I can associate with people, identify with people, that when they first come into the church, just maybe a visitor or whatever, "Oh, I don't like that." Naaman didn't like it either. "I don't like what I have. I can go back to Syria. We have better water up there than they have in the Jordan." So off he went with his chariots and all of his money and gold and silver and garments that he had brought to give to Elisha. But as he was rich, dust was a flying, going down the road, he happened to look. Still got my leprosy. You know, disobey God, you're still where you were. See, he took his, like human beings, Naaman took his, all of his gold and silver and pieces of gold and changes of garments. I want to tell you something. You cannot buy salvation. There's not enough money in this world. The government can't buy it, put enough money to buy salvation, because salvation is cheap. It's free. And it sets you free from sin. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we hear a lot in our society today, especially more and more and more all the time, about DNA. I was just looking the other day on this subject, how that two men, babies separated at birth. They were They were friends. I didn't even know it. They were friends that they actually were brothers. They lived pretty close together even. But they did kind of look pretty much alike. So they got to investigating through DNA and found out they were brothers, twin brothers. They found their relationship through the blood. You will find your relationship with Jesus Christ through the blood. And when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are filled with a DNA, not the natural DNA, but a DNA from heaven. Hallelujah. That identifies you with your Father. Because when a child is born, when it's in its mother's womb, its blood comes from the Father. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, we have a DNA from the heaven above, the Lord Jesus Christ, identifies us with who we belong to. Everybody has the privilege of going to heaven. Our Lord leaves out nobody. Everybody has the privilege of going to heaven God's way. Now you can go to hell your way, but you can go to heaven with God's way. I love the Lord's way. He is my God, and I love Him every day, and I serve Him every day. Amen. He's my God. Paul, writing to Romans, said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then we are not in the flesh. I mean, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we get out of the flesh into the Spirit of God, where we are then blessed and touched by Him. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, it says, and then as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off and lift up their voices and said, Master, have mercy upon us. And when they saw Him, He said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And they went to show themselves to the priests, except for one. And the one came back and thanked the Lord. That's the least we can do too. I didn't ever dream when I was a boy. We never went to church. As I said, maybe a funeral or something like that. My dad ever went to church. So I didn't know anything about church at all. But saying all that, I say this. I didn't realize what it was to have God in my life. I can take you back to almost to the very minute God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Now, the building's not gone. I mean, it's gone now. They built a new one. But a little country church where God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you had no doubts. When God got done with me, I guess I was pretty hard-headed or something, because literally He knocked me down. Literally, I didn't even realize what was happening until I realized I'm speaking with tongues. It was so exciting. As I said, I never had anything like this, never experienced anything like this. But it was so exciting. We had brought an elderly lady with us that night to this revival service. And she didn't have the Holy Ghost. But going home that night, I had probably about 30 miles to drive to get home, and another 10 to take her home. But I was so excited. I was driving, trying to drive, praising God and having myself a time. And this dear lady sitting in the back seat finally said, Brother Dunaway, You do the driving, I'll do the shouting. It was something to shout about. And I'm still shouting today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans again, chapter 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also that ye were dead indeed in sin, but alive in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We were dead in sin, but we're alive in Jesus. Hallelujah. We have something to shout about, something to rejoice about. Amen. I don't care what they say about me. I know what God has done for me. Amen. And I'm going to live for Him and serve Him and rejoice and be in His service every time I can. Oh, He's so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And then in the book of John 11:24, Jesus said it to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Over and over again, dead men walking. But we don't have to be dead in Christ. You know, when the story of the prodigal son, and when the son came home, the father had a feast for him, had a banquet, they had a good time. And the older son, he didn't like what was going on. He didn't do this for me. Well, the father made this statement. For this my son was dead. He had left, took his part of the inheritance, left and spent it wildly. And the money was all gone. Well, the Bible tells a little stronger than that, but I don't want to get into that. But he said to his older son, my son was dead and is alive again because he came back to the Father. Amen. When we come to our Heavenly Father, amen, we are alive. We are alive. We are blessed. Hallelujah. I am excited about living for God. Hallelujah. And then the next scripture, another scripture referring to the same thing, how he said he was dead and alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. I was lost. You were lost. But when you came to God, you found life, real life. Hallelujah. And our promise is not just in this life. That's the beauty of it. I get so disgusted sometimes with society and the way things are. I mean, from the Washington, D.C., all down to me. I get so disturbed at what's going on in our society today. I thank God I'm in the church. And I'm not here to blast anybody, but I tell you, some of our leaders in our country and in our, even in our state are so corrupt and dirty and ungodly. It's so sinful, they don't even know what truth is. Ethics and morals and all that stuff's gone. It's all gone away. Not all, of course, but majority. That's why I say coming to church sometimes is like taking a bath. You wash all that junk and stuff out of your head and your mind. Get rid of it. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians, he says, I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, by the same faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a hope we have. When you look upon a saint of God that has lived for God And of course, we don't like to see people pass from this life. But when they do, they have a better hope. They have a better life. Jesus, the apostle wrote in a revelation in chapter 20, 21, that there's no tears, no pain. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. No more cancer. No more heart attacks. He'll give us a new body. These bodies get sick, pain, but their pain's all gone. Oh, what a hope. How anybody could deny this. I guess some people can't see any farther than the end of their nose, but what a privilege to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. To think, one time we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. I've often said, and I still believe it, I'm one of the biggest miracles of walking. How God got a hold of this little country boy. My dad, I had a great dad. I lost my mother. I refer to my dad, but I lost my mother before I was even 3 years old. But I had a wonderful father. And wherever he went, I went. He got on a tractor to go to the field. There I am with him. Till I got a little older, I got on a tractor and he went with me. I'd stand in the field maybe and watch him and throw dirt and rocks and whatever. Later on in life, when I get older, he stood in the field and threw rocks and dirt and amen. I had a great father. But I want to tell you something. My heavenly father. Oh my. My dad was good to me, but my heavenly father. 2 years ago, probably 20 years ago now, I had just a little discomfort. So the doctor said, well, we need to check on that. So it just put me through the procedures. And sure enough, they said, well, you got blockage. The x-ray says, showed you have blockage in your arteries. So we need to find out how bad they are and how to treat them. I hear the x-rays said there's blockage. So I did set up the time, went to the hospital. And the doctor took me in and put that dye or whatever it is through your system. And he had a little monitor there. And he told his assistant, said, turn that around so he can see this. And I watched that monitor. And he told me, this is what the doctor told me. After I had let me back up just a little bit. A man had called the day my wife talked to one of our ministers. Just about the same day, I found I had this blockage. And he says, I hadn't seen this pastor for a long time, but he said, I've had a burden for Brother Dunaway. Is something wrong? So my wife explained it to him, what was going on. But when that doctor turned that monitor around and said, your arteries are as clean as the day you were born. We serve a wonderful God. Amen. And I'm thrilled to be a part of the Church of the Living God. Amen. And we'll be praying for you folks as God will send you the right leadership for you. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Dunn. Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you for an encouraging word, Brother Dunaway. I am so thankful that I don't have to stay dead in trespasses and sin. That I can be a spiritually living man walking upon this world, in this world, upon this earth, but understanding this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands? Why don't we lift our voice? Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. We honor you. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made that eradicated sin from our lives, God. And though we struggle, God, though we in the flesh don't always do the things that we should, we know that ultimately we will be victorious over sin. We thank you, Lord, that we are alive in you, God, that we have new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're no longer bound by sin, no longer having to pay the wages of sin, for they are death, Lord, but we're thankful that we are alive in you. And we come and we celebrate, we lift our hands, we lift our voice in recognition, God, of your work upon the cross, God, of the miracle, God, that made salvation for each and every one of us possible. Lord, that we can be alive in you.
Come alive.
Can we gather around the front here tonight, or this morning rather? Can we make our way down around the altar? It's a show of appreciation and thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the sacrifice that you made.
Delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of the Lord. By grace I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost.